Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
I'm not even going to do the theme song. We don't need it today. We don't need it today. Welcome to Drinking Bros Fake News, where this week, Dan, we've actually got some real news. Therefore, we brought in some real journalists, some real respected voices other than the two of us,
right?
Dummies. We've got Mr. Matt Belinsky on the show today. Worldwide respected lawyer, would you say that?
The parts of the world that matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not a DUI attorney.
Cover
in, like,
the entire
Topeka
thing. No, not, no workers' comp, upstairs, mini mall type of lawyer. No, not my gig.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Yeah. And we've also gone on one of the biggest podcast hosts in the land, Jordan Harbinger, on today. Thank you, Jordan. Where are you? It's very purple there. Are you in Minnesota?
It is very purple. Yeah. No, I'm in San Jose, California, and this is a very fancy piece of paper behind me that you see here.
That's nice. That's real nice.
What determines the fanciness of paper?
The is thickness?
Papyrus.
Yeah, the thickness, probably like the way it looks with expensive lights aimed at it. We didn't have the budget for a full bar and a wooden American flag, so we went straight paper.
We didn't have the budget either. One of our listeners actually made this from the Stars and Stripes Company.
Yeah, you can buy those.
You can buy those. That's cool. We didn't buy it, so we were grateful enough to have a listener who's got some creative woodworking skills. Look, before we went on air, we were chatting about how to start this show off. Obviously, the one thing that is on everybody's mind is who will be our next president, which I never thought I'd be saying 3 days after an election.
It happened just 20 years ago. Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't remember that?
I do remember that, but look, 20 years, if you watch this show and what Dan and I do every day, it's a miracle we're still alive. I it's hard to imagine 2000 again. Like, I don't even remember yesterday. It was a blur of interviews. Yeah. We were on Alex Jones last night. We did another interview and then three other shows. And I'm lucky I'm alive today, let alone 20 years ago.
So to the extent that you do remember 2000, did it feel a little more normal? Like, even though that the results were up in the air, this was kind of an outlier situation. Felt a little more normal. Something weird is in the air about this one.
Yeah, I'm only 32 years old, so I was what, 12 at the time, and totally kidding. A couple summers older than that.
Yeah, but that wheelchair is actually for you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need it any minute now.
Jordan and I have very boyish features. We could be groomed. We would have been great. We'd have been great at Kevin Spacey's house on a Tuesday afternoon. The way I look at it is this. With 2000, I didn't really have a stake in it as far as the candidates go. I didn't really like Bush, and I didn't really like Gore. Therefore, whatever happened in that one. I think out of the four of us here, I'm the only one who is a Trumper.
Well, I think what Matt was saying is that it feel like in 2000, it didn't seem like anybody was trying to do anything weird. It just seemed like Florida was incompetent, but that was no surprise. I mean, gators and meth, right?
Yeah.
And then it turned into bath salts, right? I think their PTSD from fucking up the 2000 election turned to bath salts. That's my theory.
Well, I will say this about Florida. They were one of the first ones in. So clearly they corrected their mistakes.
Yeah, they did really well this year.
They did great. Yeah. I mean, they were one of the fastest states to report,
right,
considering how important that state was to win for both candidates.
Right.
Whereas the rest of these states, I don't understand what's going on.
Well, I mean,
it
seems weird now, because now we're getting all these videos of poll workers doing weird shit, like kicking out Republicans out of the room for some reason. I don't know why they would think that yelling out, "I want all these Republicans out of here," would be okay at a neutral polling site, right? That's bad optics. So that stuff, there's a video circulating right now of a guy who is pulling out ballots and then looking at them, verifying them, putting them in the piles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that goes in the center pile, which apparently is the Trump pile, he's just like, "Fuck you," like flipping off a piece of paper, dude. Are you that crazy to flip off a piece of goddamn paper?
But that's where we are.
Yeah, so I think to Matt's point, that's what he's saying. It seemed weird this time.
It also feels like it's a matter of the trust in the underlying trust in the system, right? In 2000, you know, everyone, the vast majority of people still trusted in the system on a day-to-day basis. After 2016, just threw so many people for a loop, and you've got so much media, and you have so much divisiveness through the way people encounter media, you look at everything through that framework, and this just becomes even more of a clusterfuck.
Yeah, and I think, you know, 2000, social media wasn't around back then. So now,
no,
every single asshole has a voice out there, and they want it known how they feel about this election. And it's a lot of spiking of the football prematurely.
Right.
Truthfully, I have no idea how this is going to shake out. Jordan, how do you see this shaking out in the next few days, if it's the next few days?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, they have to audit and do the recounts, right? They have to count and then recount. And the fact is, like, Nevada's, what, 76 or something percent in already? I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know if they're walking them in to the polling station. Not sure how that works.
They got the Vegas
Pony
flu.
Pony Express, maybe?
Yeah.
What's that?
They got the Vegas flu.
They
got fucked up last night at the casino.
They've got a lot of money on Green Bay tonight in the Thursday night game, and they're like, "Yeah, we'll get to the ballots tomorrow. Let's see if Green Bay covers seven.
Nobody's waiting for these, are they? Yeah. So they're going to have to count and then recount. And then, of course, there's going to be some states have mandatory recounts. Other ones, you have to sort of pay for it. The party that requests it has to pay for it. Those are going to have to take place. They're probably going to want to audit those. And they're going to have neutral third-party auditing companies or individuals, whatever, organizations going through those. I don't exactly know how all of those work. But they have to do that in the swing states. It's not going to matter for California or New York. It's going to matter for Michigan, Wisconsin, maybe Georgia. I mean, Georgia's off by what was it, like 30,000 votes right now? Mm. We're live, right? So it's not outdated info. It's literally like under 30,000 votes in Georgia. So that could flip either way, especially since they usually count urban areas last, and urban areas are usually more blue because there's just more density of ballots in these different stations.
Well,
it's a cluster.
Yeah, it seems
and we're going to see a zillion legal challenges too,
right?
True, they're going to file literally like 1,500 lawsuits, I would imagine.
I mean, Arizona's within 70,000 votes too, and they're only 88% reporting, but it seems like a lot of theirs are from Maricopa County, which is primarily red. Now, that's a big deal, obviously, but we have no idea how that's going to go. To the ones that have been turned in recently over the last day or so have been about 60% Trump, but that doesn't mean the rest are going to be like that. So we'll see about that.
Right.
In addition to that, Georgia being 30,000 off, I think most of these battleground states usually have some kind of automatic triggered recall. So we'll see, right? I mean, who knows? Lawyers from both sides will get on board, and they'll send in people to try to find errors with it. It's just like a jury selection process, which you know you would be familiar with. Mm-hmm. You try to find some way to get that person's deal out of the way. This isn't about the will of the people anymore. It's about legal maneuvering. It's what happened in 2000. All the Republicans did was use the Supreme Court as a stop button, right? It was the stop mm-hmm. button on the conveyor. It's Lucille Ball. She's trying to put these cakes into boxes and it's not working. She's trying to eat them and blah, 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 and stuff's just falling off. Then you hit the stop button, right? Right. That is what the Supreme Court was. They maneuvered in the courts until they had a temporary favorable decision and then said, all right, let's have the Supreme Court say to cut this off. That's what happened. It wasn't about counting ballots or any of that bullshit.
Right.
Let's be real about that. This is all political at this point, and it's all lawyering. It's just legal bullshit. None of this is going to be about reflecting the will of the people.
I agree. So since we have a lawyer on the show, if this does go to the Supreme Court or to lawsuits, what is the next process and how long will this take?
See, that's the problem. It's state by state, right? So that mm-hmm. it becomes even in, right? Okay, 2000, we only had to deal with one state. How eerie is it that there's this many swing states that have two factors. One, are so close that they could trigger a recount, and two, seem to have some sort of impropriety or questions about the process. So you add in, once again, this is so complicated, even as a lawyer, I got to start walking through it a little bit,
sure.
But you're starting to layer on the laws from and the processes from multiple states, not even just two, it could be four or five. That's why I'm telling everyone, I was like, anyone who thinks we're getting an answer anytime soon, you're out of your mind. This thing is going to
drag. Bear in mind, it's not just about states either. Looking back at law school and remembering what I can from law school 15 years ago, right? This is jurisdiction by jurisdiction. So it's not going to be like, all right, Georgia, let's recount the votes. It's going to be like, well, wait a minute. This county in Georgia, oh, well, okay, that polling yeah. station, was there an irregularity there? Well, that's in a different jurisdiction. Okay, is this a federal thing or is there a state lawsuit? Or it's probably both. Right. So they're going to have multiple lawsuits about the same thing in state and federal jurisdiction or in state and federal courts. And then they're going to have to move to what? Consolidate those and then reconcile decisions that don't make sense. So you might have two jurisdictions in one state that have two different decisions about very similar things. And then you have to go, which votes get counted and which don't. And I'm over here with you, man. I think it should reflect the will of the people. If people voted and they are real votes, they should be, in my opinion, they should be counted, and you can work the legal crap out later on. Don't be trying to get rid of ballots because some technicality here and there and try and maneuver around it with this hanging Chad crap like we had in Florida.
Right.
Just count all of the freaking votes that people wanted to put out there. Let the voices be heard. And then if something really is improper, you can disqualify stuff later as needed. Don't try and shut us up as people. That's why we have elections. That's why democracy is important. Don't sit there and try and screw that process up so you can gerrymander some more jurisdictions or some more districts in whatever state you're in. That's just that stuff makes me, that triggers me, as you can see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. But it's going to happen.
Yeah, it is. And the longer and longer right. we wait, and I apologize for interrupting you, the longer mm-hmm. and longer we wait for this process. And again, I said this earlier this morning, American Idol is able to count 150 million votes during a commercial break. I don't understand why Arizona and Nevada can't count votes now. The longer this goes on, the longer it lends itself to conspiracy theories.
Right.
We've already seen videos on Louder with Crowder.
Right.
And
I mean, some of them are pre-built. So we know intellectually that votes come in a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So urban or rural areas get counted faster because they're smaller population-wise and they have a disproportionate amount of poll workers. So it gets done really quickly and they report really quickly, typically, right? Then there's a big, those are typically conservative votes. There's big waves, like he said, of urban votes, which typically go Democrat, to the tune of about 60%, 62%, give or take, depending on the state. And then there's a third wave, which doesn't really come into play unless the vote is within about 100,000 of these absentee and provisional ballots, right? And when you add on the layer of impropriety that we've seen, at least the optics are there for that, right? Which is going to make people want this stuff. If you're a smart person that's trying to propagandize from the right, you can say, here's what's going to happen. The right's going to be way up, and then the Democrats are going to try to steal it by coming back at the end. Well, technically, that pattern on the map will look like that, yes. Mm-hmm. But there is a very specific reason for it, and it's been the same for fucking ever. So this idea that all of a sudden now where Democrats make comebacks, even in conservative states late in the voting process, it's just not true. It's not true that it's different. All those votes came in at the same time. They just got counted in a different order. That's it.
And that's why I think Trump's best shot is winning legitimately via Arizona and Pennsylvania, as opposed to, you know, some court challenge or some, you know, winning on some argument of impropriety in Michigan, Wisconsin, some of these other states. I mean, we don't know how these states are going to end up in the groove and on the path that they're on right now, let alone if they get challenged.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's definitely going to be a recount in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Yes.
Probably in Michigan
in
as well.
Michigan as well, yeah.
And it looks like maybe in Georgia. I mean, if it's within 30,000 now, we'll see what else comes in.
Georgia, Arizona.
Arizona's within 70,000. Yeah, yeah. Nevada is within, you know, a pretty good, pretty slim margin as well. So we'll see. I mean, it's important to be able to let this process go on and people maintain some level of dignity and not act like a bunch of cunts. To be real.
But let's say, how about this? In relating it back to 2000, there did come a point at which Al Gore could have continued to challenge it through the legal process. He voluntarily said, right. You know something, I think the famous line was, even if I win, I lose. Not that that was necessarily true. Who knows? There's an argument that he could have kept challenging it and it would have been the right thing to do. But he bowed out. Do you see any potential situation where either of these sides right now in this environment staring at a situation like that and say, you know something? All right, I give up. Not a chance.
No, there's no way that's going to happen, and it can't really. And the reason why is because it'll bring our legislative process to an absolute standstill. Mm-hmm. If this continues through January, then nothing gets done between now and January, and people desperately need bailout money. Like, individuals need $1,200 right now. I don't, you don't, you don't.
Right.
But a lot of fucking people do.
Yes.
And they're not getting it because these assholes have been bickering back and forth, trying to attach riders to bills, trying to argue over, you know, pennies. They're tripping over dollars to pick up pennies. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. And it's been going on for a while. You think that's going to get better while the White House is in contention. That's not true. People are going to suffer more because of these assholes.
Yeah, and Jordan, what do you think the tension of the world waiting for this decision is going to have on Americans as we wait here? I mean, there's a lot of people who are nervous. The streets are weird. Like, it's kind of we're in Austin, Texas. It's kind of a ghost town here. Nobody's really talking to each other. There's a bunch of, you know, TVs on. There's an eerie feeling in the streets here of everybody waiting for this decision that we're probably not going to get for months.
Yeah, it's the same here, and even in California. Of course, you know, I live in an area that's largely blue. I live in Silicon Valley, so there's a lot of. And right above us is an all red area of California. People usually think California is a bunch of Democrats. It's not. You know, there's a lot of old cowboys out here, and then they're still here and they're still voting red. So there's a lot of tension. But I think looking even at my neighbors, who are like, some are very left and some are very right, they're just kind of like, let's do the best thing for our democracy. It's partisan, but it's less of that sort of dirty, do whatever needs to be done because Donald Trump's terrible, or do whatever needs to be done because Joe Biden is gross, whatever the arguments are on both sides. And I think more and more normal, sort of rational, sane Americans are like, let's do something so that we can move forward. Because right now, like you said, people need $1,200. And no one in Senate or Congress is thinking about that money right now at all.
No.
There's a handful of people who give a crap about that. Everyone else is obsessing about where they're going to challenge the electoral votes. And this whole thing has put our democracy on hold. And it is kind of a crisis, right? It's like, it runs the danger of people doing something that is penny wise and pound foolish, where they screw with the democracy that we have and they change a rule or they make it so that we can discredit certain amounts of ballots. And then we go, fine, we won this election. Well, what happens in four more years? Do we then have people pulling rule changes retrospectively all the time to discredit votes that they don't want, that don't go their way?
Right.
That is so freaking dangerous, man.
You can say fuck
so
here, by
dangerous.
The way.
Yeah, you can say
yeah,
fuck.
Okay, I wasn't sure about that. Sometimes I do TV and they don't like it when I do
with
that.
This amount of booze on the table, I think you can
say
whatever you want.
Yeah, you can talk about Anne Frank for an hour if you want to.
Yeah, yeah. It's so fucking dangerous to do that because you end up with... You end up with people that go, well, if they can do it this time, then we can do it next time.
It's escalation.
And then where's the line? There's no line anymore, ever.
Yeah, it's escalation.
Someone tweeted out something really interesting, and I think it was kind of aimed at, you know, this was a very centrist person, but was aimed at a lot of the liberals who saw some of what they believed was Trumpian overreach, and then they were threatening to pack the court and said, well, okay, well, if you're going to keep on escalating and keep on escalating, at what point does anyone stop escalating? You just keep on escalating until the system breaks.
You get to a point where you've escalated so far that you can't allow your side to lose anymore. By any means. And that's where fascism or communism comes from, right? You can't, these extreme versions of the right or left become, they're a symptom of overreach. and it happens. It's mission creep, essentially. If you think about it from a military standpoint, you get involved at an advisory level, and all of a sudden, you know, with 10,000 people over here, we really get this done, and all of a sudden, we're in fucking Vietnam. You know what I mean?
And that's where the situation around COVID, I believe, really just adds fuel to the fire here, because also with these situations usually where far right or far left ideologies take hold, communism, fascism, it's during tough economic times. And, you know, a year ago right now, America did not, that wasn't what was going on. America wasn't having tough economic times. Obviously, a lot of income disparity, but you didn't have people in desperate situations. And right. Lo and behold, how does an economy crash that quickly? I mean, one of the only few triggers that could incite that happened over this last year. Now you have a lot of people in more desperate economic circumstances.
Yeah, and it's very bad optics for the left, too, with this presumption from a lot of people on the right and the constant echo chamber from conservative politicians that they're somehow trying to turn our country socialist, which, you know, is probably hyperbole, but I think there are some people that do enjoy those socialist principles. Now, if it looks like the left is solely responsible for shutting down the economy and thus bringing more people onto the government tit, which is something that they get criticized for a lot with regard to black and brown communities, keeping them on the tit. You know, give them just enough to sustain, but not enough to gain upward mobility, for example. That becomes a problem. When your optics, when your actions start to meet the presumptions of the enemy, that is a problem. It is a messaging problem. Politics is about marketing, right? If you think you have the right idea, you need to get out there and convince people that you had the right idea. You don't need to call half the country fucking deplorables. It doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? So when I get why Trump is stupid. He says stupid shit all the time. That comment he made about there's good people on both sides, he could have really made a detailed statement right there, but he decided not to for whatever reason. Maybe he didn't think he needed to. Maybe it's just ignorance or whatever.
I watched that in real time. I think he was. I think his statements were mischaracterized. I think they were.
I
could not imagine. I remember watching this. I swear to God, it was like watching in real time as he gives this press conference. Right. And the second it ends, Wolf Blitzer sends this missive out into the universe that he said this, right. And it just took on a life of its own. And I'm sitting there thinking, like,
Did you listen to the next 2.5 minutes of that statement? Right?
Sure. But his bigger Trump's bigger problem is all the opportunities he's gotten after that to really clear the air. I know that he's too prideful and he thinks, well, I didn't say it in the first place. Screw these people. I don't have to kowtow to. But you know something, man? Maybe just bite the bullet and clear and make things crystal clear. And he hasn't done that.
So I think some of it's deliberate, right? I think some of it is not necessarily just by Trump, but by politicians in general. You know that you're supposed to speak at like a third grade level. And I'm not exaggerating this. One of the problems that Hillary Clinton had, there's a lot.
Yeah.
We won't go down that road. But one of the main problems she had was she's speaking at, and I can't remember exactly what it was, like a fifth or sixth grade level, which sounds low. But when you're talking to people and they're half paying attention because they're washing dishes and the TV's on in the background, you literally want to be speaking at a third grade level in terms of vocabulary and what you're talking about. So you don't have time for nuance. You don't even want nuance. You want it to be very black and white. And you know, we talk about psychology a lot and bias a lot on the Jordan Harbinger show, but like you filter things through the filter that you currently have. So if you expect some racist shit to come out of someone's mouth, then when they say, hey, there's fine people on both sides, you hear something that enables racism. And if you don't expect that to happen because you don't believe that to be the case, you hear somebody going, all right, well, he said something that probably should have been clearer, but really wasn't. You hear what you want to hear and you see what you want to see. We see this with cops taking longer to see that white people are armed versus people of color that are armed when both are armed. These are psychology studies that show that what you expect to see doesn't mean you're racist. It's bias that exists in human perception that you cannot get rid of. It is an evolved trait, and it happens with tribalism. It happens when you're listening, and it happens when you're seeing.
We're hunters.
It's not racism.
We're
it's
hunters.
Different.
We're hunters. We're trained. We are pattern-seeking hunters as human beings, and we are trained to look for danger, right? And if enough stimulus tells you that something is dangerous, you will innately believe that, regardless of whether or not it's true. Like your dog, for example, gets scared at something. Or if you're walking your dog and it tries to lash out at another person coming near you, it thinks it's trying to protect you. It's not trying to be a dick,
right?
But your brain works like that at the lower level. You have to be able to outthink your own fucking brain. And there's something called a 10% rule. You got to be 10% smarter than the fucking tool you're trying to use. Mm-hmm. With your brain, it's your whole fucking brain. You have to be smarter than this shit. You have to be smarter than like, hey, I want to eat fucking 2 pounds of candy right now, but I know I'm going to get sick and fat.
Yep.
So I probably shouldn't do that, right? But we do it. Yeah. All the time. All of us do.
I did it earlier with Franklin's barbecue here.
Drink all goddamn day and do stupid shit all day, and I wake up feeling like shit, and I'm like, oh, well, that was my fault.
Yep.
But there's consequences to some of that. For me, it's just like I got to hydrate now and eat some food, and I'll be fine. If we start fucking with the nature of our republic, that's a fucking problem, like he's talking about. And the Republicans, they've been very guilty of gerrymandering, of setting up congressional districts to favor them and all this shit. They've been doing it for years now. And Democrats are starting to do it now, too. The one thing I will say on behalf of Republicans is they have resisted the urge during the do-nothing Congress or do-nothing Senate in Bush's last 4 years and then throughout Obama's term to exercise the nuclear option in the Senate. They've done a good job of not doing that because that would be a major escalation.
Right.
And it looks like if Trump somehow pulls this out, I would expect the Democrats to do it almost immediately. As soon as if they have control of the Senate, I don't think they will, but if they do, they will do that immediately, and American politics will change then.
Yes.
Like the Senate it'll stop becoming an advisor to the president and an overseer of Congress, and it will become an activist organization at that point. That's a real fucking problem for us.
I'm going to take it. I'm not optimistic about much right now, but the optimistic view that I have there is I do think generally, like right now, I'm trying to see, okay, beyond who ends up being president and how that situation plays out, what can we learn from what happened the last few days that has longer term consequences? And I think the Democrats have seen that some of their assumptions just got blown up, regardless of whether or not Biden pulls this out. They know, listen, they're not going to say it publicly, and their friends in the media are not going to say it publicly, but they know they lost a lot of the minority vote. They know that
Trump got the most votes from minority groups from any Republican in 60 years. He's racist and they all hate him, right?
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's
probably not.
There's no way for them to square that circle of the actual vote totals in there. And then Charles Blow, we got more evidence of a white patriarchy. It's like, okay, we just know that you guys are grifters. You know what keywords, you know what you're looking to get shared amongst who and what generates your clicks. That's it. You're not interested in the truth. But we've got that, and we've got, okay, wait a second. Increasing voter turnout doesn't necessarily mean good things for us. And oh, by the way, having way more money than the Republicans also doesn't necessarily mean, you know, positive results for us.
Right.
So I think generally the Democrats got a bit more of a scare put. Once again, even if Biden pulls it out, they got a bit of a scare put into them about some of their assumptions. And that's probably going to rein them in on
maybe
some of the excesses. That
this is the same conversation we were having after 2016 when Hillary Clinton got lit up. Like we need a left that is matriarchal, that is looking out for people's welfare, for healthcare, shit like that. Not that are sucking the dicks of big pharmaceutical and the fucking insurance companies. She was the wrong person then, and Biden's the wrong person now. Maybe there isn't a right person, I don't know. But there is a price to pay for this shit, and we thought there was, at least. But there wasn't really. What was the price that the Democrats paid for this? They're in a close election right now.
Yep.
Like, what price did they pay? They've learned no lesson. And if they pull this out and Biden wins, they will learn no lesson again. I promise you that. What? Because if they didn't with Trump, Donald goddamn Trump, getting into the White House, they're not going to learn from a win. There's no way, right? You're asking a lot of people who have suspended their disbelief about almost everything over the last couple of years.
I think they were expecting such a blowout that I think this is going to, and you know, anything happens once, you can chalk it up to a fluke.
Right.
Twice, and particularly in the way this went down, and they thought after the pandemic, the economy tanks, 1/4 million people supposedly dead. Come on, they didn't. And they're like, wait a second, we still have to deal with this guy.
Right.
We lost a bunch of seats in the House that we thought we were going to win. These House representatives, they've got to get elected every 2 years.
Well,
they know that they're not safe.
Yeah, they're never safe. So that kind of leads into our second story, which is...
Well, I want to ask you guys, I'm going to go a quick round table real quick before we get into the next one here. I just want an honest opinion, gun to head. Who do you think wins and how long will it take? We'll start with you, Jordan.
I think Biden wins, and I think it's a freaking hair victory. Like, I think it probably ends up taking Nevada... The recounts end up coming in his favor, but it is super narrow, and we don't find out for weeks, if not months. Probably months. I'm going to go with months, because okay. I think they're going to challenge everything until the very last drop of this is squeezed out of it.
Dan?
So the problem is right now is North Carolina. All these other things can get done pretty quickly. North Carolina has a law that doesn't allow them to count absentee or provisional ballots until the 12th. Like, they can't even start counting them until the 12th.
Of November?
Correct.
Great.
Yep. So... that state is on hold, and Trump needs it to win. So even if he wins these other states. He wins Nevada. He wins Arizona. He still is probably going to need, unless somehow Pennsylvania gets its shit sorted. But their attorney general is going to fucking do whatever he can to prolong this process.
Correct.
We've already been.
He's already said it this morning.
Yeah, he's pretty much said that out loud.
He also said this morning that his prediction was that Biden was going to win. Now,
why would that be the case?
I don't know. And why would you say that? Especially during this.
I mean, that's kind of like James Comey putting a Biden shirt on and tweeting out a picture of himself drinking coffee the morning of the goddamn election. Like, how that is one of the most inappropriate things I've ever seen from an appointed official in the Department of Justice. That's really bad to do that. Like, it's not, there's nothing wrong ethically, or I'm sorry, legally, there's nothing wrong with what he did. But that's fucked. And yeah. he knows it is. He's not a dumb, he's obviously a smart guy. He knows that's fucked up what he did.
So who do you got and when?
So I think that Trump's going to win, actually. I think he's going to flip Arizona. But I don't think we're going to know until probably sometime right before Thanksgiving.
Okay. Matt?
My prediction is the inauguration will not occur on the date planned.
Ah, so you think it's going to go that long?
That's how fucked I think this is.
What happens in like, because I don't think we've ever.
Well, this is a constitutional amendment, my man. So the 20th amendment of the Constitution sets the inauguration date. So you're talking about the government violating the Constitution at that point. And I don't know what the consequences for that are necessarily, and you may be able to. It's interesting because to change an amendment to the Constitution or make a new amendment, right, to supersede it, then you have, there's certain steps that have to be taken, including getting a supermajority in the houses of Congress. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the chances these people are going to cooperate with each other?
None. Like, absolutely none.
So what is it draws back for me, this is a thing that hits home for me. And again, you guys know me, I'm not really a conservative person, but this brings back into play why the Second Amendment is so important in this country. Because the First Amendment is just words on a piece of fucking paper. And the 20th, if any of them are, if any of the 27 are just words on a paper, then all of them are, right? These words on paper, there's no enforcement mechanism from the paper itself. It's an idea, and we support that, so we hire people to enforce it. That's how it works, right? If any of these are just, you can jettison them whenever you want, then all of them are, except for the one that allows us to protect ourselves physically. That's the only one that could ever matter. And I think that's why Chappelle said, the First Amendment is amazing, and the second is in case the first doesn't work out. I think that's a really good quote from a very smart man. And it brings it back into question. What exactly, I wonder, I am not a conspiracy theorist, you know that.
Yeah, neither am I.
And I'm not anti-left. I think a lot of the stuff, a lot of the ideas are good. Like the idea that people should have health care is good. We should, because 83% of all bankruptcies in this country happen because of private fucking hospital bills. Mm-hmm. Bullshit, we're fucking people over with this stuff. I like all that stuff, but it does seem like the left is attacking the institutions that protect us, like police and things like that. Military, historically, they've done that as well. So it's weird to me that, let me ask you this. I don't mean this to even be rhetorical, and I'm not trying to necessarily make a point, but I think it is kind of a point. If you drove past somebody's house and they had an American flag hanging off of their house, who would you assume they voted for?
Trump.
Absolutely.
Jordan?
I would definitely not think they just voted for Trump. There's so many people I know that float flags that don't vote for Republicans.
Really?
So many. Yeah. Tons. From Michigan, where I grew up, and here in California, there are flags everywhere. Look, if you go to Texas, you see more flags. I'm not going to argue with you on
obviously,
that.
Obviously, yeah. So that's kind of what we see. But yes, and you're right. That is a mental trigger that you think of, like, well, it must be a Republican or whatever. But
that's what I was
not true.
We've had the standards for what constitutes how you express patriotism, right? And these things have been shifting. And you know, during the 2000s in the Bush administration, I kind of aligned more on the left, like.
Right, same.
I have to buy into all the bullshit that you're spitting about Iraq, that most of which turned out not to be true. And if not, I'm disavowing my patriotism. I'm not buying that. Okay, so I spent a lot of energy, you know, during that decade in the early 2010s, kind of like defending some of, you know, the accusations that if you subscribe to certain things on the left, that meant that you were, you know, the freedom fries BS, right?
Right.
I got to be honest. I think things have flipped. I am in shock at the velocity at which not the vast majority of Democrats or people on the left, but the powers that be, the elite media class, the classes that represent them, seem to have just have prioritized American criticism over American patriotism and don't seem to have any regard at all for our American heritage, American history, and kind of, I mean, I was in shock because senators seem to be, no, I don't think you should say that this country is irredeemably racist or bad, or this you can acknowledge injustices both past and present without, you know, while appreciating the country. It's like, what are you doing as a senator? What are you doing running for president if you don't find any appreciation for what this country is? And once again, I know that these accusations against the left kind of scream of that freedom fries, like, oh, love it or leave it type of very shrill attitude. But I'm pretty shocked at how far I think patriotism on the left has descended within the last 4 to 6 years.
Well, in regards to why people run, you know, as a congressman, you get $175,000 a year.
Yeah, it's all
you
about.
You can make a career being a politician
power.
And make a lot of money.
It's power and ego, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
Now, gun to head, I'm with Dan on this one. I say Trump. I think that Maricopa County, if you really believe that's what it comes down to, I think Trump has flipped the Latino vote, and I think he gets it narrowly. That still won't stop lawsuits on the other side, and I think this goes well into January, which will lead us to our next topic here on fake news, which is the pollsters, and what a complete joke that job and profession has now become, including Nate Silver. Nate Silver, I don't know if you saw what he looked like the day after the election, but he looked like Julian Assange being pulled out of an apartment after 6 years trying to beat extradition.
By the way, he was on Fox News yesterday telling everybody, like, hey, you should not have called Arizona yet. That math doesn't make sense. So it looks like he does understand math as long as it's happening in real time. It's just the polling part he's not good at.
Well, when that's your job for a living.
Well, Frank Luntz said it on Fox News 2 weeks ago. I actually don't watch Fox News. I saw this clip, by the way, because Fox News is ridiculous. But Frank Luntz is the guy that popularized the term death tax. Mm-hmm. Climate change instead of global warming. He's a Republican pollster and strategist, propagandist, really. Let's be real. But he said, look, I want them to all be wrong because I'm a Trump supporter.
Right.
But if they're all this as wrong as I think they are, then my profession is gone.
Yes.
Like, no one will ever trust a political poll ever again. And he's right. And you shouldn't. No. Honestly, based on these numbers, it got worse from 2016. This is why I was challenging you earlier on that. In 2016, it was like, whoa, these people were way the fuck off. Holy shit. And they came up with all these theories, right? The shy Trump voter or whatever the fuck else. It is hard to measure voter sentiment. That is true. But with the amount of technology and social media we have now, the psychographic data that we can pull out of this stuff, there's no excuse for these motherfuckers to be this wrong. Honestly, there's no excuse for
that. I agree. And I think not only is the job of pollster now done, how do we trust the media anymore, Jordan? Because the media jammed these numbers in front of our faces for an entire year. So these pollsters are now lumped in with the media because clearly the media believed it. A week before the election, Dan and I did a show, and you can go back. The title of it was Biden plus 17 in Wisconsin. And that was coming from ABC News. And that's David Muir, the most trusted man in America. We all knew that Biden was not up by 17 in Wisconsin, and clearly they don't even have the votes for it yet. So obviously he's not going to win by 17 percentage points unless everybody's dead relatives voted and those have yet to be counted. How do we trust the media anymore after this?
I mean, the polls, I wouldn't necessarily follow. Some polls were close. I mean, there's a 3% margin of error, and some polls are in that, but most of them, as you can see, are like way outside of that. There's also a lot of misunderstanding of what the math says in some of the polls. A lot of people said, what was it, like 10-1 it's going to be for Biden. That doesn't mean that 10 people vote for Biden for everyone that votes for Trump. Those are like how Vegas odds work, which math is not my strong suit. That's why I became a lawyer and a journalist in the first place. But you look at those and you go, Vegas odds, it doesn't mean it's going to be 10 times the win. It's going to be, when you roll the dice 10 times, it comes up Biden, 10 times more than Trump,
Jordan,
or however those things freaking work.
True. That is true. But there were still the vast majority of polls, particularly in the swing states, showed a Biden lead that simply has outside any margin of
like,
error.
Is there any part of you that could imagine these people are this mathematically incompetent? And if that's not possible, right?
Right.
Like Arthur Conan Doyle used to say, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Pardon me.
Yes, the sir.
It's all the over-under on the Arthur Conan Doyle
sir.
Reference. Yeah, yeah, it was coming.
For sure.
essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but you dismiss all impossibilities, right? You eliminate things that are impossible, and then whatever remains is a solution. However improbable it is, must be the truth, right? That's a good way to, that's a Socratic method, basically. There's a good way to think. So if you, we either have to believe that these people are so incompetent at mathematics, and this is all they do, and math is the one universal constant. I'm not saying there isn't room for variables in here. Obviously, it's, you're measuring voter sentiment, but if they're this bad, if they're bad enough to be 7.5% off in a swing state, or they were off even in the states that were obvious.
Yeah.
Even the ones they called correctly, they were way under for Trump, right? And almost every one of them. So it implies there's some kind of methodology behind getting it wrong. Like, cui bono, who benefits? Mm-hmm. Who benefits from them getting it that wrong? It's not them, right? It can't be them, because they're going to lose their goddamn jobs now. You would think. So what the fuck is going on here?
I think it's two things. I think one's very evident of what goes on in the media generally these days. And I'm telling you, it's social pressure. These people all know each other. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what, journalism in 2020 in the digital age, you go and hang your work out on a freaking bulletin board in front of everyone every day. All the people in your industry, all who these days all hang out in the same social circles in Brooklyn and in Silver Lake or the east side of Los Angeles. Yeah. They all know each other. Okay. You don't want to deviate from the group, because you're going to get criticized and you're going to get ostracized. And that's driving people. I'm telling you, I know a lot of sports journalists. The sports journalists know the pop culture journalists, who know the political journalists. They all know each other. They're all friends. I'm telling you, this is groupthink and conformity based on social pressure of your group, because your work is out there for all the people you know to comment on every day.
I mean, there's been a lot of that happened in the climate science industry as well.
I'd imagine so.
The one guy from London, one of the original reports that really pushed things into the 2000s was complete bullshit, right? That doesn't mean stuff's not going on. Whatever, we can keep talking about that, but that guy doing that was bad, right? And you have to assume that there was some pressure to do it, right?
Sure.
It has to be pressure, because what the other explanation is, what, Trump broke the pollsters? He breaks the math?
Well, there's another explanation.
It's not impossible.
The other explanation, which is Trump's premise, is that they're doing it on purpose to try to keep him out of the White House, to try to use it as a form of voter suppression, because people don't want to be on the side of the loser. And that is a psychological effect. There has actually been talk over the last 25 years or so about holding ballot reporting on the East Coast until the West Coast polls are closed. It's never happened, but that discussion's been had, because both sides of the aisle have complained about that affecting, you know, late voting in the West Coast states. So there's definitely an effect that both sides acknowledge there. So the idea that that might be some targeted coordinated attack doesn't seem that crazy to me in 2020 with the, and I hate to use the phrase Trump derangement syndrome, but I've never seen people act this crazy about the president before. I've never seen anything
like this.
One person,
yes. I haven't either. Let me pose this conspiracy theory I heard to all of you. One of the I'm not going to say who, but somebody said the reason why you saw the polling numbers the way you saw the polling numbers is simply because they figured Biden was going to either lose or be very, very close. That way, with all the polling numbers drilled into everybody's heads, of course, when you went to count the mail-in ballots later, all of these votes would be for Biden, and that would match up more in line with what the pollsters said. Do you buy into that at all?
It seems more likely to be the other way around. It seems more likely that the pollsters will end up getting closer as mail-in ballots are counted, which has always happened in every election. Like the people I see that are friends of mine that are super hardcore pro-Trump online, or just friends of mine, they'll say, like, I can't believe they found all these ballots. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Every election has worked like this since before you and I were born, also for the last 100 years or whatever, ever since they've been doing this. I think it's more likely to be the other way around, right? Where the pollsters, the margins by which they are off, which are ridiculous right now, narrow, not going to make them right, but it's going to get closer as those mail-in ballots are counted, versus this becoming a thing that the pollsters are programming and having that be some sort of like devious conspiracy. It's more likely to be the other way around.
Right, we'll see in a couple of weeks. Yeah, we'll see when the final results come in from all these recounts. We'll see.
Yeah,
but it'll be interesting, because in 2016, even from the conservative side, I don't know if they were too busy defending Trump from the Russia bullshit, but no one really did a deep dive on why everyone was so wrong. Like, there's a couple of theories, there's a couple of white papers out there, but for the most part, it's bullshit.
Well, I kind of think that they kind of came up with the most obvious answer, which might be the right one, but then they replicated the problem.
Well,
right?
That's Occam's razor,
it was,
right?
Well, it was we don't poll rural low propensity voters who right. didn't usually vote, and that was whole Trump's whole shtick that I missed it. I didn't start noticing it till very late in the election cycle in 2016. I was like, wait a second, he's speaking to people who have been left behind by globalization, who are rural, who are not usually part of the political process. Yeah. Oh my God, maybe they vote.
Right.
And people didn't poll these people. The problem was they went and did the same goddamn thing again.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny. You would have thought they would have learned about that.
Well,
the entire world. I've worked in data science and in the intelligence community in the government, right? The entire thing is to learn a lesson from each thing you do. Even if you fail at something, you learn the lesson and you apply it again to the next thing you do. You make hypotheses and you test them against the data. The ones that turn out to be true, you try to scale them and then you use them after that. They didn't do any of these things. And it doesn't make sense to me. It's like, I don't know a metaphor for it right now, but it's somebody you would expect to be really good at something and they seem so bad at it. It's almost like if somebody was trying to throw a sports game or something.
Or like Keanu Reeves in a drama. You know, like that is something where you're like, man, he's just not going to be good at that.
The mailbox thing?
Yeah.
What was that called?
Who knows?
Where he's putting, did you see that?
Lake House?
Yeah, the Lake House. Did you see that Family Guy spoof where he put his dick in the mailbox?
Yeah.
That's. I would have done that immediately. As soon as I figured out you could time travel like that, I would put my dick in there.
Of course.
And to see what happens, right?
It was the deleted scene from Back to the Future.
Yeah, exactly. Real quick, we got some sponsors who put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros, 30% off if you're a member of the military or first responder, a teacher, or work in the government. As always, at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest there, which is applicable with all of these deals, including the one for us dummy civilians. You get 25% off mattresses, and you get two free pillows there. And the pillows are just as great as the goddamn mattress. I can promise you that. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today and sleep in comfort, because you could be in a bed for months and months and months waiting for an outcome to this election. Next up, Senate and Congress. Who won? Who lost? Well, we got a QAnon lady in. That's a new one. Did not think that would happen. Jordan, you were shaking your head. AOC held on to her seat. And they added a new squad member, which is a fun
phrase. Well, now they've got five, so they can play full court basketball.
Yeah, which is nice. Mitch McConnell, Cocaine Mitch, he held on easily despite Dems spending millions.
Speaking of spending millions, Bloomberg spent like fucking $500 million and lost everywhere.
Yeah, it didn't get anything.
Like, come on, dude. It's not just about money. You know that.
One day there's going to be a book about the economic redistributive impact of Michael Bloomberg's money into the hands of consultants and social media people in 2020. It's incredible.
Yeah, those are the real winners in this election.
I swear to God.
No,
trust me, I know a couple of them.
The winners in every election are K Street lobbyists. Every election.
Yeah. But how about this? I remember there's some social media consultants and agencies in Los Angeles who were like, oh my God, their eyes got nice and big and they got some nice retainers. They got some nice budgets last spring.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. One of the cool stories, though, was 25-year-old, that kid out of Cawthorn, who got elected in North Carolina.
I can't remember his first name.
Madison.
Madison Cawthorn, 25 years old, got elected to Congress.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how he'll develop. I mean, you want to get, I think 20... And in your 20s is a good time to get involved in politics and then get out by your 30s or 40s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when the things are most relevant to you. So when you're in your 20s, you're worried about paying off student loans and buying your first house, developing your career, getting promotions. In your 30s, you're worried about moving from your starter home into your better home and then planting some roots and trying to become a manager and whatever you're doing or escalate it somehow. And then in your 40s, obviously, you're trying to prepare for retirement and make sure you're making the right amount of money, stash money away, and blah, 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 put your kids through college. So we need people in those groups. I don't really need to hear from any more 50, 60, 70-year-olds ever again for the rest of my goddamn life.
In politics?
Correct.
Yeah.
Like, I say this a lot, but if there's an age requirement to hold political office, there should be a fucking age limit. We don't need any more of these old assholes trying to fucking tell us what to do with folksy colloquialisms. I don't need to hear about malarkey, Joe.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I don't need to hear that shit.
If you were alive when the Wright brothers first flew that plane, you should not be in Congress.
last
but not least here, Republican David Andahl, RIP, who died from COVID in October, won his election in the North Dakota state legislature on Tuesday. That's where we are as Americans. And if you think we're getting better, we're not
sure
getting
how
better.
Big that
are. Are you guys distinguished gentlemen, guys? Eddie Murphy, distinguished gentleman? Just traded off the guy's name who is dead? Yeah. Nice to see that.
That's pretty much where we're at here.
Imagine running against somebody who's dead and losing the election.
Yeah, that's not good.
Who'd
that's
you lose to? Oh, remember that dead guy? Yeah, I lost to him. And can't really figure it out. Pass the gravy. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
I added this story, by the way, because I'm curious what if you guys, if there's anything else weird or spectacular, unusual, whatever, that happened so far. Well, we don't have all the reporting yet, but what surprised you so far in all of this? And let's start with Jordan.
Yeah, what was the biggest shocker here out of those? Because I think these were the top stories that came out of the down ballots.
And let's lay off the White House, because I think I feel like most people expected this to go on for some time.
Mm-hmm. With the presidency?
Yeah, I really do. Most people that pay attention were thinking that already. So let's talk about the down ballot stuff, Senate, Congress, stuff like that, or ballot measures.
The QAnon making it in is shocking because I thought people would go, that's so stupid. Even some of the dumbest people I know look at that stuff and go, yeah, no, I'm not going to dive into it. That's just ridiculous. So to have somebody that got enough votes to get elected to, was it the House? That is mind-blowing in so many ways. I just can't wrap my head around
One of the 438 members of Congress is a QAnon supporter, right? Which is, it is what it is. It does demonstrate how little people trust the media. You know what I mean?
I'm going to say it demonstrates something that speaks a lot to what I've seen on Jordan's through Jordan's content is the power of narrative. Here's the thing. You read that. Here's the thing. I know some smart people who are into the Q stuff.
Same.
And this is in L.A. and there's a lot of them are screenwriters and people involved in constructing narratives.
Yeah.
And a powerful narrative is a powerful narrative.
I have trouble sitting down for conversations over QAnon stuff, like just me personally, because you're right. I've some very, very smart people who listen to the show, who soon that I'm into that or whatever, they're like, hey, man, let me talk to you about Q. And I was like, that's the wrong Q to ask the wrong guy here.
It's a great story.
I have nothing to do with that. The shocker for me as far as the QAnon one goes was that it wasn't Laura Loomer. She was getting a lot of money down there, and she won her primary by about 66%. I thought for sure she was going to get in Florida, and she did not. I was not even aware of who this woman was from Tennessee that ended up winning from QAnon. But the scariest thing about it is not only does it legitimize QAnon, but you actually have someone who is in the system now who can tell you real stories. And if I'm in the House and I have to deal with this woman, or she comes near me, or she's glossing through papers, I'm scared shitless because now she actually has the real information. So whatever's going on QAnon, they're going to be able to say, hey, we got one in there. We know this is true. And that's dangerous.
It'll be interesting to see if she gets committee assignments that have security clearance requirements.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because how do you do that? Yeah. Like if you're an avowed member of a group like that that's known for leaking government secrets, that is definitely going to call into question your integrity with regard to keeping those things secret. Right. I mean, that makes sense. Regardless of how you feel about QAnon, that makes sense to me. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Were you surprised or not surprised that Ted Wheeler beat an avowed member of Antifa by 5 points?
No, it was the lesser of two evils there. And what do you do at that point, right? You have Antifa or you have the guy that supports Antifa.
Well, he supported both, him both until they kicked him out of his condo, right?
Yeah, but both are a win for that city. You know, if you're looking at it and you want to continue to rage and just live in the middle of the street.
I don't get it, man. And, I mean, have a story later on about how Oregon basically legalized everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that in a few minutes, but I can understand why they did it now.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck it, man. It's like smoke them if you got them when the plane's going down. That's what they're doing out there now. Like, everything's legal. Let's get fucked up, man.
Because it's not going to be a city. You need all the drugs in the world if you're going to live in that state.
I mean, what cities thrive on innovation, new people coming in with new ideas and new money, and older people that are established in the area continuing to reinvest into a community. That's how a community builds. Mm-hmm. New tech coming in and all that stuff. who the fuck is going to move to Portland now? And I asked the same question about all of California. Who in their right mind is packing up in Kansas or Texas or the Carolinas or the Northeast or anywhere else and deciding right now to move to California to go start their fucking business in California?
The only people moving to California right now are New Yorkers.
Yeah. The
is tip that of, true? No, I'm not, oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah,
because you're still there. You're still in California. You're in California, Jordan. What's it like in Silicon Valley? Because we hear about LA and the mass exodus all the time. Are people leaving Silicon Valley as well? Because, look, San Francisco is no joyride. Yeah. That's probably about third in the list of Seattle, Portland, and then San Francisco.
I live in San Jose, so I'm south of San Francisco. And I lived in San Francisco, and I remember telling my wife, look, it's $550 for a parking spot. I'm not even exaggerating. What it cost in my building where I was paying like $5,000 a month in rent or whatever it was, close to that. So why would I live there? And then I walk outside, I kick the needles away from my door. And I'm not exaggerating. There's a dude taking a shit in the alley behind me that I had to wake up at night. I got one of those lawman flashlights that's like super bright. I'd lean out my window when I'd hear these assholes fighting and I'd be like, get the fuck out of the alley. And I remember looking online for hoses that would attach to a faucet in my house so that I could just spray these pricks and get them away from me because I couldn't sleep. So I moved down here, and now all of my neighbors are moving to Austin, so you're welcome, because they're going to be invading your
backyard. That's all right. Well, I mean, look,
don't bring the politics.
Yeah, people tried these turds tried to set up an autonomous zone here, and about 35 minutes later, they got ridden out of town by cops on horseback. It's still Texas. I'll say that. The pollsters are the pollsters, but even people on the right this year were lamenting the idea that Texas is somehow a purple state and it's going to turn blue soon. Not even close.
No.
Look at the results. The vote of recent Mexican immigrants along the southern border not going in the direction everyone thought they were going
to
go in.
Yeah. No. And were you about to say that California will flip red one day? Am I reading your mind or no, Jordan?
I was kind of going towards something like that. Not necessarily that California will flip red, but like people around here in Silicon Valley, people go, oh, they're all Democrats. They're all wealthy young people that are left. That's true right now, but what they are also NIMBYs. You ever heard of this? Not in my backyard.
Yeah.
You ever heard of this? So what this is like for people who don't know is essentially it's like, hey, let in these people or do this or change this policy, but don't do it like right here. I got to live here. So do it somewhere else. Right, so that's the problem that I see with a lot of folks that live around here. You can't paint everyone with one brush, but when I vote for something, I try and ask myself, do I want this across the street from me? Not do I want to let it happen in Louisiana? Because then it's not my problem.
And so to shift the conversation to an LA-specific topic, but I think it's very interesting. LA district attorney race, okay? Mm-hmm. So San Francisco, a lot of the conditions that Jordan described, one of the guys who was responsible for that is a guy named George Gascon. Okay, he was the district attorney of San Francisco. George Soros supported. Couches all of the policies under a progressive policing, progressive law enforcement. Sounds nice, right? What that translated into was pretty much allowing innocent people to get terrorized and not prosecuting criminals, and that is what has transpired in San Francisco. The guy somehow, after turning San Francisco into a shithole, comes down to Los Angeles to run for district attorney. This is George Gascon's a white middle-aged white male running against a black female named Jackie Lacey. And Jackie Lacey has, you know, she's a Democrat, as is everyone in Los Angeles. But she, you know, had started to run afoul of Black Lives Matter and some leftist activists, not prosecuting some police officers in some situations that it could have been legitimate to prosecute them. Okay. Lacey hammers her. There's a two-step. If you don't win a majority of the vote in the LA district attorney race, it goes to a runoff. Lacey hammers him in the primary back in March, April, whatnot.
Yeah.
Throughout the course of the rest of the year, with the shift in sentiment around George Floyd, Eric Garcetti, the mayor, flips. The mayor flips his endorsement from Lacey to George Gascon. Why? Okay, George Gascon, it looks like, is going to inch out Jackie Lacey for district attorney in Los Angeles. And he's going to, after this guy, after what he did to San Francisco, to go ahead and get and pretty much be a carpetbagger to come in and do the same thing to L.A., it's probably regardless of how the presidency turns out, that's the thing that's going to most disappointing to me. I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, look, Dan and I said it a million times when we were shooting our L.A. shows there in July. That's L.A. itself, and I used to live there for 18 years. containers. There was a point that it was beautiful. It is now overrun with homelessness. Clearly, everybody is moving to out of the states, Austin, Nashville, Nevada, you name it. I think this will accelerate it.
It's not going
to
be pretty.
No, it is not going to be pretty. And I'll be real curious to see what happens there. Production-wise, you know, look, it's a production town. It's an entertainment town. A lot of that has already shifted to Georgia anyways. This is just pushing everybody else of like, hey, if you were on the edge, I think you've jumped now and you're like, I'm ready to move out of the States.
You know, I'm ready to start a plan, but I think more so just like how strange it is that this prosecutor who clearly has the mayor of San Francisco hates him,
right?
And is a liberal mayor. And then all of a sudden, you've got Soros funding with the like, I don't like a lot of the Soros quote unquote conspiracy theories, but
right.
There's just a simple fact that his money shows up in a lot of interesting places.
Mm-hmm.
All this Soros money behind George Gascon, and then midstream, the fucking mayor flips his endorsement from the incumbent that he's worked with for years to this guy. Something smells.
It's about optics, right? Can be right? Bought off, though.
Who knows? I think I don't trust any politician.
No.
If any of my close friends became politicians, I would immediately start to distrust them. I'm not even joking about that, because there is a world that you live in where certain types of things are required. It's like being an undercover operative for the military or for the government or for a police organization for doing counter drug stuff. You have to change the way you think and act to be part of that process. And I think it corrupts almost instantly. I know a shit ton of people. I've worked in politics, and I know a shit ton of people who have gone from being some regular dick to getting a platform to becoming Congress, Senate, whatever the fuck, even local stuff. And immediately, the way they think changes. Like, they think they become a trustee of the people's will and not a representative of the people's will. Almost immediately, it happens. And it's something that we have to redefine what it means to serve your goddamn country. You know what I mean? We really do, because none of these motherfuckers are doing it. What we're talking about with this political game going on with ballots and counting ballots and deciding, you know, trying to find loopholes to disclude some and include others is not what this country is about.
Yeah. Look, I agree. Politics is a dirty business. But if you're trying to stay clean, go to DukeCannon.com, our next sponsor. They get some holiday soap.
Oh, he's impressed
today.
By that segue.
Nailed you. Jordan, I'm one of the best in the biz on that segue. Some would say I'm like a young Paul Blart.
I got to be honest. Like 10 minutes ago, I was thinking about Duke Cannon and how I could say something about dirty politics to lead you into that.
You're welcome.
I'm really proud of you for picking up on
you're
that.
You're welcome. And I'm proud of all the scents they have there. You can get the Naval Supremacy, the Old Glory. You can get 4 for $30. They're huge bottles of soap. Best in the business. This was actually recommended by the audience. And then we ended up hitting them up after a couple months. They agreed. They typically don't do promo codes and things like that. You see them in Target all the time. But they will for this show. They've got some new holiday soap that is out. There's a new promo code. It is Holiday Bros, I believe.
Oh, shit. We are Holiday Bros.
We are Holiday Bros for 10% off.
That's true. Well, I'll be a Holiday Bro for any amount.
Off. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. Dan can be bought off. Dan can be.
No, I just enjoy that. You can tell by my demeanor that I really enjoy the holidays, right?
Holly jolly.
So festive.
Yeah. I get super excited. Brittany's like, oh, we're getting 10 Christmas trees. I'm like, God fucking damn
yeah,
it.
Yeah. If Santa was a murderer, it'd be Dan Holloway.
Yeah, it's true. Well, Santa probably is a murderer.
Yeah, you never know.
I mean, who would know?
No, you wouldn't.
Anybody gets killed overnight on Christmas Eve.
A lot of people.
Yeah, all eyes are at Santa.
That's Santa for me.
R.I.P. Yeah. George Michael. He died on Christmas.
Yeah, because everybody's you should be asleep by the time. If you're not asleep when Santa comes, he's gonna fuck you up.
Yeah.
That's what I've been telling my stepkid.
Yeah, you have to.
Like, hey, dude, seriously, you better fucking knock it out.
And
now
he's wake up.
He's got a weird Xanax problem now, but it's fine.
He'll get over it. He'll get over it. Next up is the Blue Wave.
Did we tell people where to actually buy this shit?
Yes, DukeCannon.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Actually, I'm sorry. Promo code Holiday Bros. 10% off.
Frothy the Beer Man.
DukeCannon.com.
There's gift sets. Frothy the Beer Man and the Beard That Stole Christmas. They like puns.
I love puns.
I know you
Who
do.
Who doesn't like an us pun?
I do. I like them.
Don't.
Yeah, go to DukeCannon.com. Promo code Holiday Bros. For 10% off and free shipping there.
I do like DukeCannon.
The Blue Wave That Never Was is the next one here. We got with the election still in question. The Blue Wave, though, we can confirm, did not happen.
Right. Like, they there was a real sense, and even I think I read that from a lot of from Alex, from you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people thought that the Senate might flip. Maybe it's still – I don't know what's going to happen here.
The Senate will not flip.
But even the House, I think maybe the House
– Republicans actually gained some seats.
Right. So it did not go the way everybody thought it was going to go. And it's funny, this week, this is the first time I've seen any real rebellion against all of this, like, super lean left, put my hand over my eyes and block out all the noise and just push forward Democratic bullshit over the last 4.5 years or so. Because two moderate, quote-unquote, House Democrats are now talking to the press, they're talking to the Hill, saying that they're going to fucking push anybody but Nancy Pelosi for leader, for Speaker of the House.
Right.
They're tired of this bullshit.
Who does that become then, Jordan? What do you think?
The person that they said was Hakeem Jeffries in New York.
Okay.
Who's a pretty moderate person.
Yeah.
But he denies that he wants anything to do with that, but he would, right?
You have to.
You're
right.
Of course you'd take that job.
That's
what
I
want to be CEO? Yes. No, not me.
Yeah. Exactly. No.
Do you want to be rich and famous? Nah. I'd rather
sounds
do something
terrible.
Else. Yeah. Who do you think takes over? And does Pelosi release her grip on that office? Because let's face it, she loves it. I mean, that is her life. That has defined her career. And Jesus Christ, man, that was a 60-minute special. She was walking on the beach in a pair of those Skechers shape-ups, which don't work. But she's got the dentures in. She's still dying the
hair.
Yeah,
didn't they get sued because those don't work?
They did, and they lost that lawsuit.
Same thing with the toe shoes, and people are still wearing those goddamn things.
What do you think happens there?
I think she's going to hold on to it. Look, I'm no expert in this particular nuance area, but you don't get there in the first place as some sort of reluctant hero thrust into there. You get there because you step on everyone else's dick, sometimes literally, to get to that position, and then you claw in there, you dig in there, and you never let it go. Look at all these people that we've seen in that position in the past. They're 100% of them are kind of on both sides of the aisle are horrible people that you just don't want at Christmas.
Well, ever since Tip O'Neill was a good man, and he kept it pretty clean. I mean, he was in the Democratic Senate against Reagan, and I say against because, you know, they were not big fans of his going into the second half of that administration. The idea of the trickle-down stuff was very offensive to them, blah, 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 and they started getting wild. And, again, that's why I say in between 92 and 94, Newt Gingrich fucking came out to, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin's music and ripped his shirt off and went full ham. And it's been pain and hate ever since. But, yeah, I would agree with you. Since Tip O'Neill, every one of those guys has been an absolute piece of shit. Male or female, Republican or Democrat, they've all been assholes, pretty much. It's funny, last night, discussing the pending election stuff, McConnell was talking about his own success. He's like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be the minority or majority leader in the Senate. Like, why would you be either? Why would you just assume you're either, motherfucker? You should have to work for that job every single day.
Cocaine Mitch, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, why would you just assume because you're the oldest guy and you look the most like a fucking old turtle that you're just going to get the job? That's not, neither one of those things are requirements.
Yeah.
Necessarily, right? Yeah. I mean, being a turtle helps probably because you got that shell, but
if you're living in the sewers of New York, it does.
Yeah,
but,
he's a Kentucky, so
yeah.
What do you need a shell for down there?
What about you, Matt? You think Pelosi hangs on?
I think she's hard to kill.
I do too.
Yeah,
there's her and Steven Seagal, right?
Pretty much. Well, yeah, that was just teeing you up for
both
Steven Seagal reference.
Big fans of shape ups, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Love a shape up.
Yeah.
We actually called Steven Seagal live on an episode with the comedians, the Sklar brothers, one time. Do you know those guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we had them on the show, and they were talking about Steven Seagal, and Russ was like, well, I got his number. Let's call him. He's like, hello? You could tell his hair was pulled back in a ponytail just by the way his voice sounded.
By the way his voice
sounded,
weird?
Yeah. I feel like I could tell.
He wanted to star in a movie I was directing, and he had somebody give me his number, and he was in China. And I was like, what the fuck is he doing in China? And they were like, oh, he's studying at some Kung Pao dojo thing or whatever. And I'm just like, bro, is that a real? I don't know if any of it's real. I know this. When we called him, it's real, and he answered the phone.
No, it's real with Seagal. He is an incredible martial artist. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
Yes. He's one of, he might be the only white Westerner to ever inherit Aikido dojos in Japan.
Wow.
From his mentor.
He's in great
shape. He inherited three of them, and that's a big deal over there. Japanese people don't put up with bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, not that he's Japanese, but you're... your kid's jiu-jitsu instructor.
Yeah, Brazilian.
That level of fucking, like, this is the job. You know Japanese people from Japan. They're very respectful. Business means a lot to them. They go about things a certain way. Do you think a 2,000-year-old fucking martial art that's going to hand somebody a gym? No. Right? Regardless of how famous they were. So
Seagal.
He's a legit, which is funny because he's a fucking fat dummy now.
I was about to say, okay, a moment of truth. Seagal versus Van Damme. Who do you got?
Seagal. Van Damme is a dancer.
Oh, I mean, Van Damme is a brown belt sport. He's had better longevity than Seagal.
Oh, you're talking about the movies or the goddamn fighting style?
Everything.
In a street fight, Van degrees. Damme would fucking shit his pants if he had to fight Steven Seagal.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. No, Van Seagal's Damme a bigger
got
dude.
Out by Chuck Zito at Scores in New York, the strip club.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's real. That's real. Who do you got, Jordan? This is really going to tell us who you are.
I mean, Seagal actually knows how to rip someone's throat out. And now, instead of pulling his hair back, he probably just pulls his neck skin back and ties it up.
Yeah.
And that's not somebody you want to mess with. Van Damme, didn't he get his ass beat in the 90s by like his own bodyguard for pulling some shit?
Yeah, Chuck Zito. Yeah. It scores the strip club.
Blood sport. Come on. You got to give him a few points
doing the splits across two chairs and then maintaining eye contact with another man the whole time was pretty impressive. I'm not going to lie. Speaking of eye contact.
Eye contact. So, FelixGreatGlasses.com is our last sponsor here today. Best in the biz, FelixGreatGlasses.com/drinkingbros. The average American spends about 11 hours a day in front of their screens. They've got a blue light protector inside the glass that will help you keep your eyesight 20/20. It's probably a lie, but I think it's true. They didn't say that. I did, by the way.
Well, the blue light.
is that the copy?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
And in fact, I think it specifically says not to make medical claims.
But this is a bonus read. But I'm a doctor. Here's the thing. It's about to be a bonus read.
This is a bonus read. We've been drinking all day. It's fine. No, I don't think it. I don't know how blue light actually affects your cornea, which would affect your prescription, right? I don't know how that works, but it definitely will keep you awake at night.
It will.
That's the big problem. That's why there's night shift on your iPhone now.
And if you're spending 11 hours before COVID in this election, you're spending about 18 now just looking at Arizona. Where? Maricopa County. That's all we're doing. We're trying to protect your eyesight, kids.
Yeah.
If you need a prescription, throw in an extra $20 and they'll get it done to you. And they get a free 30-day money-back guarantee there. At FelixGrayGlasses.com/drinkingbros. They always get stolen on this set here. Next up, Google searches provide window into how Americans are dealing with this election. The Google searches for liquor store near me hit an all-time high last night as Americans watched the election results roll in. American searches for fast food and move to Canada also skyrocketed. Google Trends reported that most searches for liquor stores originated in Delaware, which is odd because that's Joe Biden's home state, followed by Maryland, Tennessee, and Georgia. I'm not sure Tennessee's liquor searches are really connected into any current events. They just got internet about 6 days ago in Tennessee. So I just think they're looking for a place to drink.
Yeah, probably. Maybe the Volunteers will come back and play some football now. They have the internet there.
Not a prayer.
I mean, we all boozed up that night.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
But I think in a lot of these places, this is my theory on this, I think a lot of these places have bars that are closed, because I know Nashville specifically is having an issue with that, because our buddies like Kid Rock and shit have a bunch of their bars closed down. Florida Georgia Line, all these guys, all their bars are closed. So it's probably that, right?
Just, you people know, looking for booze. I was in Nashville just before I came here.
Right.
A lot of that is it was like the movie Footloose. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, they would let people in the bar. If you got up and danced, no dancing. Everyone was like the freaking John Lithgow character.
Really?
They're like, they shut down the dancing. You can get a table about five or six people together. If you got up and tried to have fun, you had to sit at your seat.
Thank you. R.I.P. Chris Penn, by the way. He was great in that movie. I'll be honest. I'll tell you what my Google search has been over and over again for the last 2 days is Trump winning the election. Like, what is the path?
So it wasn't Hunter Biden dong shot.
It wasn't. I've already seen those.
I walked over to your computer and I was going to search for something, I typed in H and it was like different variations of Hunter Biden dong shot.
Yeah,
like you were spelling it different ways, trying to see if it was hidden somewhere. I don't know what you were looking for.
Jordan, you don't know us that well, but I have pulled up John Mayer's penis on this show so many times that if my computer got confiscated, they would think that I was trying to murder
You'd
John
You'd go to
Mayer
jail for sure, yeah.
Yeah,
It's funny. He'll like see male nudity, and he can't stop laughing. I don't know what it is.
It's the funniest thing in the world to me. We had a Medal of Honor recipient, Dakota Meyer, in the show, and he was sitting right next to me. I kept full screen John Mayer's cock because there's a shot of it pissing. Beautiful penis. Looks like a bear two-hander grabbing a salmon that's swimming upstream. I kept it on there for the entire show. See, he had to sit directly next to me. The level of uncomfort in one man's eyes for an hour and a half was the greatest joy
for a guy
I've ever found in this life.
That's murdered quite a few people.
Yes. Yeah. It's the best. What were you Googling the last few days?
24-hour pharmacy, because my kid, he won't take medicine. He's 15 months old, just to put it, so this doesn't sound horrible. But he won't take medicine, so we had to go and get those little suppositories that go right up his backside so that he would, that his fever would chill a little.
I've got kids. I've got young kids as well, 2 and 6. Luckily, they have not had to have a suppository. Not that I'm, you know, I'd be shy to do it. I just would prefer not to, obviously.
Yeah.
Prefer not to.
You feel bad inserting something into someone's ass without their
especially
explicit
in today's
permission.
Day and age,
I feel bad even with permission, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I like feeling bad.
Yeah.
So
that's your jam. Yeah. I just want to make sure that the blinds are closed on the window. Well, you don't want the neighbors seeing that, a finger going into a small child's asshole these days.
Yeah.
Could be a problem. I thought you were looking up pharmacy because of drugs. You just need
Xanax
to get through this.
I get my drugs from the street like everybody. Yeah, they don't have any of the good shit at the pharmacy.
Good for you.
Same.
Well, I mean, they have it in Oregon, but we'll get to that in a sec. So
yeah, we'll do it right now. It's party time in Oregon. That's the next story. They've done it now. Oregon just decriminalized pretty much every drug known to man.
Mm-hmm.
Voters overwhelmingly supported Measure 110, a coup for the New York-based Drug Policy Alliance, the same criminal justice reform group that backed Oregon's successful marijuana legalization effort in 2014.
It was 59-41.
Yes. And the measure does the following. It reduces misdemeanor drug possession to a non-criminal violation on par with a traffic offense. People with small amounts of drugs, including heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, ecstasy, LSD,
psilocybin,
methadone, and oxys will get a ticket and face a $100 fine or have the option of being screened for a substance abuse disorder. Look, we talk about this quite a lot on the show, that most of these people that are in prison is for minor drug-related offenses.
33% of people in prison are in prison for some sort of marijuana violation. That is goddamn ridiculous.
Yes.
By the way, 5% of all people in federal prison are in federal prison for some kind of violent crime. Yeah. 5%. That means 95 nonviolent crime in federal prison.
Jordan, so, where do you land on this? I'm actually fine with this. Oregon does a lot of crazy shit, but I'm actually fine with this.
I mean, if we're going to test this, let's test this in a place that it's already burning to the ground anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Good testing ground for that. Yeah, exactly. I'm with you guys, or with you anyway. I don't know where you guys stand.
Mm-hmm.
Look, decriminalized doesn't mean you're going to have dispensaries for methamphetamine popping up throughout Oregon, although who knows. It means that we're going to stop wasting shitloads of money putting people in prison because they got hooked on their painkillers.
Yeah, no shit.
And it means we're going to stop wasting money putting college students in prison for 8 years because they were doing mushrooms at a party and got caught with a bag of it in their pocket. That's happened to people that I know.
Mm.
And their lives get fucked, man. You're in prison for 6 years in your 20s for LSD. You're not a drug dealer, right? You're not a violent criminal. You're fucking around, and now your life is so fucked up because of that. I'm totally with decriminalization based on that. Now, of course, drugs do lead to bad things, and I don't think we're arguing that right now. Like, if you are hooked on Oxy and you start smashing in cars or breaking into pharmacies to go get it, you're going to go to prison for that, but you're not going to go to prison for getting caught with pills in your pocket because you were jaywalking.
Right, right. Matt, you're new to the show, obviously. Your thoughts on this? Dan and I have said this for years and years here. So
yeah, I think that a lot of society has, at least this century, right, has kind of come to a consensus that a lot of our approach towards a lot of narcotics that were kind of a vestige of a more Christian, a more chaste nation, you know, of the early 20th century. And then, you know, you kind of have narcotics expand during the 60s with the counterculture, but they're still like, okay, we know this is not going to be the end of the world, but these are still taboo things. And we've said, you know something, this just doesn't make sense any longer. We can't have these things be either one, socially taboo, or two, illegal. Okay. And thus far, the experiment around marijuana seems to be working out all right. And I absolutely see all the points that have been made here in the last couple of minutes around the overreach of the penal system and the legal system in regards to people using some of these harder drugs. Totally get that. But I think we do have to keep our eye out that there's a reason that vices have been considered vices. And if you open the floodgates, all right, I think we're going to have once the horse is out of the barn, mm-hmm. it's tough to put it back in. It's not correct. Like, you know, it's with prohibition. Like, okay, we decided to make alcohol illegal, and then, you know, something didn't work out, and a decade later we reversed the law.
But what happened when it didn't work out, though?
Like, you reversed the law.
No. What happened?
Everybody raged. Yeah.
Prohibition. Okay. One, no one stopped drinking. No one. And you develop a criminal class. This is why I'm against the hardcore, the Trump wall, the closed border policy stuff. It just doesn't work. Because all you do is create, if there's an impetus to get into this country, they're going to fucking get here. And we have to develop the tools to be able to stop that. The best tool to be able to stop that is to empower people who would fund their operation, right, to not have to fund their operation. For example, people that are trying to get here as dissidents or because they're in some dire situation or whatever it is, people that just want to come here to have a better life maybe. Who knows? This is the best country on earth. Why the fuck would they not? I'm not saying we can take everybody, but there's got to be a more clear pathway to coming here, even if it's temporarily, and going, because a lot of particularly migrant laborers in California mm-hmm. and other places come for the harvest months and then leave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Why would we have a problem with that? It doesn't make any sense, because they're doing that shit and keeping my fucking fruit and vegetables cheap, but that money to them means a lot more there. That is a win-win for everybody. Anytime you fucking block off people from doing something they're going to do regardless of law, what you do is create a criminal class to support that industry. We've created a criminal smuggling class that now, in the age of terrorism, means they can't just traffic drugs over here. They can traffic fucking people with bombs strapped to them. That's a security problem. Now, you think building a wall is going to stop that? Because there's water and tunnels, bitch. It's not going to work. That's why I hate this stupid shit.
I agree. And by the way, Matt, your points about once the horse comes out of the barn, you can't put it back in. That was my line in college. And I want to apologize to anybody out there that I said that to. It's 2020, and I've learned and I've grown from it, and you understand. Last but not least here today, affirmative action has been rebuked in California. Californians rejected affirmative action in Tuesday's election, opposing the repeal of a 1996 ban on considering race and gender in public hiring, college admissions, and contracting. Proposition 16, placed on the ballot by the Democratic-controlled legislature, was failing 56-44 as votes continued to be counted. It sought to repeal Proposition 209, which barred the state from discriminating against or granting preferential treatment to any person or group based on race, sex, ethnicity, or nationality. After a summer of unrest fueled by the police killing of a black Minnesota man and a pandemic that underscored the country's racial disparities, Democratic lawmakers said it was time to allow a new generation of Californians to revisit this question. Yeah. This one is super interesting to me.
Yeah.
Simply because, having lived there for this long, and you live there, Jordan, and as well as mm-hmm. Matt.
I lived in Oakland as well. 8 years.
All of us have lived there. White people are becoming the minority in the state of California, and I believe it's already tipped to where it's on the other side of that now. So how do you have an affirmative action law now that was originally built to stop white people from hiring other white people when now the state is tipped?
Yeah, yeah. What it really is, and it's an example of a couple of things. One, you don't want to make a rule that benefits everybody if you're just trying to benefit yourself. That's a bad look, right? Because if you're trying to benefit yourself and it happens to benefit everybody when they're in power, that's a problem. Like if you use the nuclear option and get rid of the cloture vote in the Senate, for example, mm-hmm. that'd be great for the Democrats for whatever time they control the Senate, if that were the case. But it would be goddamn miserable for every other time. That's why we have a republic and a democracy, right? Because mm-hmm. we want to find the best solution for the most amount of people. Now, this shit seems like, to me, I was surprised at the result, to be honest, because if it's failing 56-44 right now, but Donald Trump only got, like, what, 32% of the vote in California or some shit? 32.5%? Right. That means a fuckload of either, I don't know what you would call them, disaffected Republicans, maybe, that are still in California, and folks that definitely, even with them, a lot of people on the Democratic side of the aisle decided to vote against this. That is interesting to me. I would not have expected that. I would have expected these numbers to be flip-flopped, if I'm being honest.
I think a lot of people who don't think that that affirmative action works that well all the time and don't like discrimination don't really want to create a loophole where more discrimination could take place. When I went to Michigan Law, they were doing that Supreme Court case on affirmative action. So I had a front row seat to all of that stuff. And I saw that go on the ballot in California, and I thought, okay, this is... It sounds confusing because you expect us to be super liberal and the state is largely blue. But when you look at it, it's like, wait a minute. This is going... This was in play for like 25 years or something, right? The previous law. So if we turn it around... What is that going to look like? And there are better ways to make sure that people get a fair shake at things rather than making a law that says, hey, you can't hire somebody because they're black or because they're white. There are far more better ways to handle this. And also, what that only applies to government contracts. Okay, so that's this small number. It wouldn't have gotten the job done in the first place. So it was a half measure to begin with that also... How can that not bite us in the ass later?
Right. And I think another factor is when you're talking about solutions to right historical wrongs, when you, there's a new solution proposed, you can say, okay, well, maybe that's going to work because we never tried that before. Affirmative action was in place for 25, 30 years, right? So you're looking at it, you're saying, like, you know something? Okay, we haven't had it the last 25 years, but we had it during a pretty critical period. We had it for a couple decades. We got whatever progress we were going to get out of that, we got. Right. And really, do we want to take a step back there?
Maybe. I mean, look, 14 days to flatten the curve, right? Honestly.
Time's a flat circle.
Like, this is all ridiculous to me, obviously. Like, I think you're right, Jordan, when you say these things will work themselves out without bullshit like this. I agree with that. I think economic equality is the way to do it. And maybe there's something to be said for... keep us collectively as a community keeping an eye on hiring practices and what happens with all that, right? Just to make sure no weird shit's happening. If it does, figure out a way to address it. If your plan to address it is affirmative action, that's fine. You're not a dick for that. But we've seen it, and we know that it's not going to work now. So being against it doesn't mean you're against that movement to bring more economic equality. It just means I think your idea is bad, and here's the proof. Now let's come up with a better solution. We have to
be
able to
have that conversation. We're not keeping kids from inner city schools from going to charter schools in white areas or something like that. Like, we're not discriminating. This is not a measure that's like creating segregation in some way. Right. It's saying, hey, do we really want to make even one of the hiring criteria for a government contract, whether the person is white or black or has enough white or black people in their like, do we want to get into people's businesses like that? Or do we just want to pick the best vendor for the job and then fix this problem elsewhere, maybe even go to the root of it, go to the earlier source, like go upstream from it? We got to do it upstream. You can't just say like equality of outcome. We've had that argument so many times, right? Yep.
And I think in California, I do think even a liberal populace is starting to realize just how far gone the legislature and the California politicians are. I think the implementing, you know, or starting the conversation around reparations in California, I'm like, I'm not so sure a state that was not a member of the Confederacy is the right place to begin that conversation. And I think a lot of more centrist leaning but still liberal California voters are starting to, their ears starting to perk up about what's going on in California state government.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see this overturned in a lot of states as these elections keep going on.
Well, I mean, if California is not going to be able to do something like this, nowhere in this country will be able to. Right. Maybe. Washington or Oregon, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Oregon still has a pretty big rural population, and so does Washington. So we'll see about that bullshit. But
Oregon, you can now do so many drugs that you don't see color. So
That's true.
Doesn't really matter anyways. Now's the point in the show, Jordan, where we have this thing called the Drinking Bro of the Week here, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become who you are today. We've a ton of listeners in town. We had a huge live election show with Alex Jones the other night on YouTube. So I'm going to flip it today. I'm going to bring one of our listeners on air who is a gigantic fan of yours just to say hello, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yes. Come on. You can come on over here. She was an old school homie of your old show as well.
Mm. Nice.
I have been listening to a lot of your show lately, by the way.
All right. You're welcome. Hey, thanks for being a fan of the show and for listening for so long. I think that's awesome. And thanks for coming out here and sitting on Ross's lap. I mean, this means a lot to him.
I'm the modern day Santa is what I am.
Well, Santa with restraining orders against him, yeah.
Yeah. Right. What's one question you would like to ask Jordan Wally
about? Oh, man, I don't know. I just...
Who was your favorite guest of his?
I honestly just liked the solo shows back in the day when it was just, like, The Art of Charm. That was awesome. I loved those shows.
New show, not so much. Not a fan of the new stuff, Jordan.
Yeah, you've really taken a bad turn.
Terrible. I do listen to the new stuff, but it was more so, like, in the very beginning. But yeah, no, I still watch your show. It's still awesome.
I appreciate that.
Two of my favorites are the guy that wrote Son of Hamas, because I read that book, like, 4 or 5 years ago. I don't remember what it was. But that is a super interesting story. If you guys out there in the audience haven't read it before, I would look into it. It's a very similar kind of take to Hamidi Jassim, who you guys have seen on the show before.
The Terrorist Whisperer.
Yeah, like he was a government guy. Like he worked for the Iraqi army, obviously. And so there's a lot of differences, but just having the story from a firsthand perspective from people that went through the last 25 years of warfare on their side is a lot different, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a much different perspective, so it's really good. And you also had Oliver Stone on. And I feel like I'm surprised he's never been murdered by the government.
Same.
To be honest.
But I'm being completely dead serious about that.
I am not even kidding.
I'm not either.
I figured if he got anything right, because he's said a lot of stuff and he's made a lot of people look bad and he's provided some pretty compelling evidence to those ends. Shit. Especially back in the 60s. They killed the goddamn president. You don't think they're going to kill Oliver Stone?
I still haven't killed Sean Penn. I can't believe he's still alive after El Chapo. He was the one that got El Chapo.
Yeah, I can't believe Chapo hasn't had him killed.
That's those guys one. Are so useful, though. Think about this, right? Like, look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Neither are you guys, for the most part, at least so far as I've seen. But Sean, why would you get rid of Sean Penn? He led the freaking CIA.
No, he means Chapo would have had him killed.
I mean, Chapo's guys.
Yeah.
I would have thought for sure. Because he's easy
right.
to find.
Yeah.
Just go down to the liquor store and ask the guy who's always buying Marlboro Reds. Like, it's Sean Penn, dude, in Santa Monica. Everyone knows where Sean Penn is.
He's the only guy that lives in LA that's still buying cigarettes.
Yes.
They're like $600 a pack now. He's like, I don't care.
He does not care.
No.
Does not care. Jordan, thank you for joining us today. Tell everybody where they can find your show.
Yeah, the Jordan Harbinger Show. I interview fascinating people like the Green Prince and Oliver Stone. Anywhere you find podcasts, the Jordan Harbinger Show, or at jordanharbinger.com. And I'm at Jordan Harbinger on Instagram, Twitter. I answer all my messages, so if people have questions or they want to come and sit on your lap, just shoot me a note and I'll make it happen.
Great. Yeah, I just listened to your Billy McFarlane one, Firefest.
Mm.
And
I may need to revisit that one.
Sometimes just sitting down and talking through the whole thing, you're like, holy shit, dude. You feel like at first, in the first like 20 minutes of it, you're like kind of going down the stairs a little bit too fast and you recognize it. Maybe you've got something heavy on your back or something. Mm-hmm. And then sometime around 20 minutes, you just start tumbling.
Yeah.
And then you fall for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, I can't believe all this is happening. Is somebody going to stop this?
Well, for us in the podcast business, luckily it is not stopping anytime soon.
What's that dude's name? Andy King?
Yeah.
Hero.
Yeah, hero.
He is a fucking hero.
Sucking dick for water.
Yeah.
Follow Jordan's show. Subscribe to it. You're one of the best in the biz. We appreciate your time today. Matt Belinsky, tell everybody where they can find you as well.
All social media, Twitter, Instagram, Matt Belinsky, MattBilinsky.
Fantastic. Daryl Smith, I see on the message boards. Welcome. Welcome to the show, and thanks for being a new listener. For D'Anthony Holloway, Matt Belinsky, Jordan Harbinger, I am Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.
New messages. Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.